It's a known fact that words have power. The words we speak and how we speak them can bring forth tremendous good or unimaginable evil into our world. And today we're going to be talking about the damage done by harmful words and how we as Christians can be more helpful with the things we say and how we say them. Because really and truly, the last thing our world needs are more holy hypocrites who'd rather damn the world through the things we say than try to save it. To help our time together this morning, I invite you to turn with me now to today's scripture out of the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James, chapter 3, 1 through 12, and we'll have the scripture here in just a moment. So beginning in verse 1, James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world full of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth can come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In today's scripture, James is writing to Christians in the early church in order to help them understand the true impact of their actions for both good as well as bad. And specifically, he's focusing here on the impact of our tongues and how the things we say and how we say them says a lot about our faith and the God we profess to serve. After all, what if the people we interact with on a regular, daily basis don't know anything about Jesus, and all they have to go on is our witness? Do you think they'd want to know more about Jesus or less? Now, knowing the impact that our witness can have on the faith of others, James begins here with a word of warning to teachers in the early church. And right here, James wants the people entrusted with discipling other believers to know that their words and actions, that they're going to be judged much more harshly than others, because their impact is that much greater. Think about it. What if a Sunday school teacher or small group leader was teaching some false doctrines as true and some true doctrines as false? What if a preacher used their sermon to score political points rather than preach the gospel? What if a televangelist was more focused on power and profits rather than faithfulness and obedience? The people entrusted with the loudest megaphones need to understand the outsized impacts of their words and their teachings, especially since it affects how other people view and worship Jesus and live out his teachings as well. Now, I'll be honest with you, as someone who gets up in front of people and teaches and preaches on a fairly regular basis, I feel this pressure each time I stand up here to share a word from Scripture. And I got to tell you, that's a good thing. It's good to feel the weight of the responsibilities that God's given to us, because the weight and the pressure, they remind us that these things matter. And because they do, they deserve our all. Now, from this somber note, James moves on to say that it's not just teachers that need to be concerned with what they're saying and how they say it, but rather every Christian needs to understand the power of their words, because the tongue, it seems, is the most difficult part of the body to try and control. Now, sure, compared to the rest of the body, our tongues may seem rather small and insignificant. But that small and insignificant thing has extraordinary influence over our lives and the lives of others. James says that much like a horse's bit or a ship's rudder, our words direct where we're going in life and whether the impact we're making along the way is good or bad. Just think about it. Let the wrong words slip out and a relationship can be ruined forever. Allow yourself to get swept up by the crowd, and you may soon find yourself chanting slogans and slurs that you never dreamed of ever speaking. And take time to not pay attention to what you're saying and how you're saying it, and you might make a bad impression that you can never, ever recover from. Now, admittedly, we as humans may not be great at much, but we are exceptionally good at creating problems for ourselves by saying the wrong things at the wrong time. That's why the psalmist prays this prayer in Psalm 141, verse 3, where it says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." If we're serious about our faith, then we've got to be serious about the things we say and how we say them. Because otherwise, how can we claim to have experienced God's transformation in our lives? How can we claim to be redeemed and forgiven when our words do nothing but judge, condemn, bicker, and belittle? When we're irresponsible with the things we say and how we say them, James says that we're capable of causing all sorts of chaos, intended as well as unintended. And because of that, he invites us to think of our tongues as a single spark that, when used improperly, can set a whole forest on fire. That's what happens when we say things carelessly instead of carefully. We run the risk of hurting ourselves or others in ways that we never imagined. Because after that spark becomes a flame and that flame becomes a fire, well, who knows what it's going to burn down? Now, if those words of warning offered, James gets to the heart of what he's trying to say here in verses 9 through 12. Hearing again from James, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James says that Christians who make excuses for their negative, mean-spirited, and judgmental words, they've totally lost the mark. They've forgotten what their faith is all about. Because really and truly, how can we claim to have given all of ourselves to Christ if we continue to voluntarily say things which are anything but good, right, and true? James says this because our words are a window into our souls, and what we say shows others who we really are. Jesus speaks about this over in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man speaks evil things out of the evil stirred up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Jesus says that good trees can't produce bad fruit, and bad trees can't produce good fruit. James says that fig trees can't bear olives, and saltwater springs can't produce fresh water. In light of all that, they're both saying that it's impossible to believe in a good God and to keep bearing bad fruit. It's irreconcilable to praise God in one moment and then curse somebody in the next. You can't reconcile it. You can't make excuses for it. In light of that fact, all we can do is own up to our sins and seek God's healing and forgiveness. And if you do that with all your heart, each and every day, then what we experience, what we start to put on, what we start to learn as Christians is a new language. We gather a new set of vocabulary. We get new words to speak. A new language. A new language that will help you and others to see and to feel the difference that Christ has made in your life. Throughout the witness of Scripture, we see that Christ wants all of us to bear good fruit because he knows that such fruit is evidence of a healthy relationship with him. And that's what he wants above everything else, friends. He wants a personal relationship with us so that we can experience the blessings of a new life that's unhindered by sin and set free by his grace. Try as we might, we simply can't have it both ways. And why should we even try? What we gain through Christ is far better than anything else this world has to offer. So let's clean up our language and make room in our hearts for God's word to take root and to bear the good fruit that Jesus speaks of. Now, of course, that advice and encouragement is always much easier said than done, right? But if the positives alone aren't enough to convince you that a change is needed, then perhaps the true damage caused by negative words will. Because while we may think that our negative words are harmless, they're really anything but. Consider a neuroscience experiment that was conducted a few years ago that tried to answer the question, do words hurt? Now, throughout this experiment, subjects were monitored as they listened to, read, and thought of negative words. And the results were really astonishing. The results of this study showed that negative words release stress and anxiety-inducing hormones. Additionally, the study showed that increased levels of anxiety in children were often associated with higher rates of negative self-talk. Ultimately, they concluded, negative words, whether spoken, heard, read, or thought, they not only cause situational stress, but they also contribute to long-term anxiety. No matter what you believe or who you listen to in this world, Scripture and science are in agreement that words have power, and that when used negatively, they create all kinds of harmful and unintended consequences, not only for those who receive those negative words, but for those who speak them as well. I'll be frank with you. I don't know that I have ever felt good after being negative and unkind to other people. I don't think that those words and those actions have ever brought me any sort of feeling of contentment or peace. Now, in those moments where I've said negative and unkind things, the adrenaline's rushing through me and I feel good in the moment, right? You get that high of, oh, I'm finally going to be honest and upfront. They're going to get the real me. Here it is, lock, stock, and smoking barrel. But what happens when that adrenaline starts to sort of fade out? You come down off that high. And as you're coming down, you're getting closer and closer to the damage you've caused. And you start recognizing the impact that those words have had on somebody else and the impact that they've had on your life too. And before you know it, all that vindication and self-assuredness, it disappears and you're left swimming in a sea that overwhelms you with sorrow and regret. Negative words always have negative consequences. And don't let anybody ever try and tell you otherwise. All because we're living in this age of rage doesn't mean that we should allow ourselves to get swept away by others or the crowd and start saying divisive, combative, and hurtful things. In case we need refreshing, the crowd doesn't dictate what right or wrong is. Jesus does that for us. Now, the unfortunate reality in light of that fact is that whether you turn on TV, open the paper, or scroll through social media, you're going to see a lot of different Christian leaders on all kinds of ends of any kind of spectrum you can imagine, using words that keep pushing people further away from Jesus and his love. And what's most unfortunate about this reality is that once those leaders start using that kind of language, then their followers start doing likewise, and before you know it, you've got a generation of Christians who think that it's normal to get negative in order to create something positive. Friends, nothing could be further from the truth. As we see in James and as we hear from Jesus, negative words are always an indication of something far more serious and sinful in our lives. They're an indication of a heart unmoved by the gospel and a mouth untamed by the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus didn't come to save and condemn, neither are we called to both bless and curse. Now, this doesn't mean, however, that we can't speak the truth in love. In the Bible, we meet men and women who were called on to stand up and speak out against all manners of sin and injustice in their times. And you know what? We are called to do the same today. Because we have a message of freedom, liberation, and empowerment to share with the world, and we can share it by speaking the truth in love. Yes, there are lifestyles, beliefs, and behaviors in our world today which run counter to God's will. But to turn our scripturally based differences into hateful and dishonoring speech is not the way to go. If you're causing people to go through hell before they get to heaven, then you have missed the point entirely. Because as we've already stated, you can't go negative in order to create something positive. That's not the way it works. That is a warped understanding of God's call on our lives, and it simply doesn't work. Negative words always have a negative impact. Now, what does work, however, is remembering and reflecting upon the words of James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, which say this: "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." Now, that's a powerful and frankly unpopular truth to speak in this age of rage in which we all live. Because, you know, a lot of the problems we create for ourselves stem from this expectation that we've got to have an opinion about everything all the time, even if it's about things that we know little to nothing about. If we as Christians are serious about speaking words of life into a world full of negativity, we need to make sure that what we're saying is informed by facts, supported by truth, and spoken in love for the betterment of ourselves as well as others. That's how we can bear a faithful witness in this age of rage. Not by giving in and saying uninformed, mean-spirited, and divisive things, but by being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, as we wrap things up, hopefully we've all come to see the unintended consequences of speaking negative words into an already negative world. And despite what we may want to think, speaking negativity into our world only makes things worse, not better. That's why we all need to be careful with the things we say. Because whether we know it or not, our words may be what leads somebody closer to Jesus or pushes them further away. While you are free to say and do whatever you'd like, please don't use that freedom to hurt others. Don't use that freedom to say things that are unhelpful, untruthful, or unkind. Don't let your words stand in the way of someone wanting to know more about Jesus and his love. Instead, may this prayer from Psalm 19, verse 14, always be in our lips before we ever speak a word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Would you pray with me? God, we are gathered today because you have spoken words of life to us which have promised us hope, peace, joy, and love. You have spoken words that have allowed forgiveness, redemption, healing, and hope. God, thank you for those words which have brought us life in the fullest and truest sense. And God, as we reflect on the impact of those affirming and life-changing words, convict us of those words that we speak even today, which do not bring good or truth, healing or hope to others. Lord, may you set a guard over our mouths so that we might speak things which only bring honor and glory to you. May we only feel opinions and share words which lead to the betterment of ourselves and others. May our witness in this world be unchallenged by the words we speak, so that whatever it is that we're saying or doing, people can see, know, and feel that we have been changed by your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we reflect on today's message and the scripture with it, if God is leading you to make a decision today to place your faith in him or to join the fellowship of this church, I'll be at the back during this final song. But if God has convicted you as well of words that you may have been speaking or words even spoken to you, I invite you to take this time and seek him in prayer as well. Let's stand and sing.